What's up, Vegas? This is Giovanni, your host of Real Vegas Junkies. That's right, everything that's happening in Vegas, movers and shakers, and fans of Vegas watch this show to find out who and what is happening in this great town of Las Vegas, Nevada. Today, we have a very lovely guest. I think everyone's going to be glad to put their eyes on this show. And with no further ado, hello, Jessica. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Yes, yes, yes. So, I love your story because you are really Vegas. You were born here. You live here. You've started a career here. So you might even know where the bodies are buried. So let's get some history. And I also know that you have a family of litigators as well. So you are Vegas, and let's hear your story. Your from how you grew up and why you got into the career you're in.
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Las Vegas, and both of my parents have actually been in Las Vegas for quite some time. My mom moved here when she was 2, and my dad when he was 16. So as a family, we've been here for a long, long time. Law wasn't on my radar when I was younger. It wasn't something that I wanted to do. I went to college in San Diego and came back and worked at MGM Grand, checking people in and out at the front desk. And it sounds, whenever I tell the story, it sounds a bit conceited, but I just remember working at the front desk, and I was living with my parents at the time. This was in between college and law school. And I would come home and tell my dad, and I was like, Dad, you know, I'm smarter than like 2 levels of management above me, and they tell me how I have to wear my hair and my nails, and I have to wear a uniform. And both of my parents had always worked for themselves, and but I got a business degree in undergrad, and I wanted to plan weddings, or so I thought. But you know, there wasn't a lot of money in that right away, and so hence I just, you know, got a job out of college. So my dad said, well, Jess, maybe you should go back to school. He didn't say law school, he didn't say medical school, he didn't, you know. So I picked up a LSAT book literally the next day, and that's kind of where the law journey began.
Got it. So talk to me about life as a kid with a father that's a lawyer.
I mean,
is it different? I don't know.
It's all I really knew.
Right.
And I don't know, I danced as a kid, ballet and tap and things like that. A couple of our friends' parents were attorneys, and I guess I just always grew up around them.
Right. And is it like, I guess your imagination runs away with you if you don't know about, you know, the lawyer mentality, but I would assume that there's some level of rules, you know, you kind of have to rules. I'm assuming like if your parents were judges or police officers, it's different than maybe other people, like, you know what I mean?
Fair point, yes. So I will tell you, my dad was extremely strict.
Okay.
I don't know if that's what you were getting at, but
yeah.
It was. I have one younger brother. He's an attorney as well.
Okay.
He's 18 months younger than me, but we had to get straight A's. It wasn't an option. Like I said, I danced, he did sports, and we weren't allowed to do any of those things unless we had straight A's.
Okay.
I don't have kids, so I don't know if they're still around, but back in the day, there used to be a place called Learning is Fun. I'm sure they have different establishments now, but anyway, you could go and get workbooks, and my father would get additional work above and beyond our homework. So we would have to do school's work plus my dad's work.
Okay.
So that's what it was like growing up with my dad as an attorney.
Right. And like, I think you said he wasn't pushing you towards being a lawyer, but he offered that as a possibility. Like, how did that work?
Well, he just told me I should go back to school. He was huge on education my entire life. I mean, it was ingrained in us after high school. Like, there wasn't even neither my brother nor I, like, blinked twice. We knew we were going to college.
Right.
So when he said go back to school, I mean, my dad has always been, like, my number one role model, and I've always looked up to him. So when I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. I was smart as a kid. School, when he said that, it just seemed, I don't know, just law school just kind of happened. You know what I mean?
Right, right. And so what was your mother's influence in your, you know, that journey to becoming a lawyer?
My parents are drastically different people. my mom's a manicurist, and okay. So she likes to say that she's the judge because she lives with a family of attorneys. but you know, she was always the creative side, where my dad was the analytical side.
Okay,
she just wanted, just like most parents, she just wanted me to be happy. So.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So, talk to the people that aren't Vegas locals or homegrown of some of the misconceptions about life in Vegas and growing up here. You know, people always think that, you know, oh, what are you at the strip all the time and clubs? And talk to people about growing up and the life as a normal person in Vegas.
Yeah, so a lot of people, especially when I was younger, would ask, like when I went to college, they would ask about life growing up and being raised in Vegas, and they would ask what hotel I lived at. And people really do have this mindset of Las Vegas is just this strip, you know?
Right.
But it was just like any other town. I mean, it was very homey. I think it was much more homey then than it is now. I mean, now it's such a metropolitan city. But I mean, it was the same. We hung out with our friends. We played, you know, in the backyard, and just did, I would imagine, the same thing that any other family would do in any other town, you
right,
know?
Right, right. I always tell people that, like, Vegas and living in Vegas is just like living in any city. We just have this cool venue to go to called the Strip.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I think good parents and kids that kind of aren't too crazy can grow up like anywhere and anybody, because the Strip can destroy some people.
Yes.
If they get sucked into that lifestyle. You probably know a few that kind of fell that way.
100%.
So, yeah, so very interesting. So before we get to the law part of your life, let's show that little clip that we have, George.
Hi, my name is Jessica Friedman. I was born and raised right here in Las Vegas, Nevada. Family law is in my blood. My dad is one of the best family law attorneys in Las Vegas, and he's taught me everything that I know. I've been a practicing family law attorney for 9.5 years. I'm often asked what qualities to look for when hiring an attorney. If I was talking to my best friend or my family and giving them advice, I would tell them to ensure that whoever they hire has the time to dedicate to their case. You know, the worst thing in the world is trying to get a hold of your attorney and not hearing back for several days or weeks. My name is Jessica Friedman, and I'm a practicing family law attorney.
Okay. That was a little snapshot of what you do. And I, you know, what let's talk about what type of law you practice.
I practice family law.
And what does that entail?
By and large, it's mostly divorce and custody-related matters. We do also handle prenuptial agreements, postnuptial agreements, temporary protective orders, like restraining orders, and things of that nature.
Okay. Yeah, so when I saw that and I saw how you look, and I was like, wow, in this environment of it being so, I think, potentially toxic to find relationships, because all this pressure of you know, being the type of man or woman, high value man, high value woman, and relationships in this country always seem to be always, you know, 50% of divorce, or I don't know, you can probably tell me better statistics. But I would assume that you become a therapist a lot and develop these relationships with men and women and kind of have to counsel them on relationships as well. Does that happen?
Yes, it's funny that you say that because I don't know, maybe it was post-COVID, but I feel like that's more, it's happening more and more for sure, the whole therapy situation. And you do develop relationships with clients for sure, and I feel like that's, you know, it should be like that. Because they are people going through very hard times in their life. But I do have to tell them at a certain point, like, I am not licensed in that. So I can only, like, lead you, you know, so far along. And then perhaps you may need to seek another professional. But, yeah, right. It does happen.
Right. And is it, like, are you finding, I feel like something happened with COVID and that whole nightmare and this kind of real big change and like this real maybe it's a separation or like the narrative is that like boss bitches and, you know, high value men don't mix. And it's like there's like this kind of narrative that it's more difficult to find relationships now than ever. And, you know, toxic masculinity and all that stuff. Are you finding that in real life is also going on? Or what do you think the trends are?
I find that in real life, in my personal dating life. In work, people are just getting divorced for from what I see, the same reasons as they did before COVID.
Ever.
Yeah.
Right.
But the whole culture with everything and has definitely impacted all of that. I read some article the other day where they were doing statistics on that same thing, like high value people and how they don't mix and everything. And it said something to the tune of men don't approach women anymore because they're scared of the ramifications because of, you know, what's going on in the news and all these things.
Right. They don't want to be creepy.
Right. When back in the day, like that's just what they were, that's just being a man, you know
right,
what I mean? But
right.
They're, you know, and women don't want to approach men because they think that the men should do it, but the men aren't doing it.
Right.
So now you have this whole culture of, you know, people that potentially could be talking to each other that aren't.
Right.
So it's interesting.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's, I think, really strange when you start to think about, we all really want the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
and I don't know, you know, coming from where you come from, being an attractive, successful, smart woman, that has a whole stack of issues, you know, like in your personal life, about, you know, what type of guy is going to approach you and like, you know, or do they want you to be submissive? And what does that word mean? It's like, it seems like it's so more difficult than I think it even was like 4 years ago.
Yes. Well, first of all, thank you for all the compliments. It's very sweet of you. But it is interesting because I hear it all the time, like, you know, from friends or family, you're so intimidating. Well, am I intimidating or are you intimidated?
Right.
You know, like, I don't know.
Right.
It's interesting. I feel like, but you hit the nail on the head. Like, we all do want the same thing.
Right.
And I just, like, we're so inundated with, like, swipe culture and the grass is always greener and images that we didn't see all the time. Like, when I was a kid on your phone with this many humans and all the things that I think it just has warped everyone's mindset.
Yeah.
And I think, like, I don't know, in my personal opinion, I think that everyone should just get back to the basics. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, I know you also are fit and you also are intrigued and interested in that whole aspect of life. And there's all kinds of ramifications of you posting fitness pictures and what that entails and what guys or, you know, people will think about that. But you know, what is your thoughts about fitness and your personal life and what does it mean to you?
Fitness is a huge part of my life. I work out virtually every day. And I think it's imperative. I feel like for everyone, both for your mental health and physical health, really. But I also think, you know, when someone walks into a room. Let's say they're the best attorney in town. If they're let me take a step back. We'll do like an A and B comparison. Let's say two attorneys are just as fabulous and just as wealthy, just as notable, whatever. One is, 200 pounds overweight and one is fit. Who do you respect more? Mm. People, if they want to be nice, will say, oh, both. But that's not true. Inherently, every individual will look at the person that is, that takes care of themselves. Why? Because it takes dedication. You don't just wake up and look like that.
Right.
I mean, I would love to wake up and look like this all the time. But, it's, you have to put in a lot of work, yes. A lot of blood, sweat, and tears. Yes. And it's not just one time. You can't go to the gym and lift heavy weights one time and look like that.
Right.
Right. So I just think it instills, good habits in people. And my parents met in the gym. They met at Las Vegas Athletic Club.
No way. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, I think that's super big these days. Kids look up to their parents, no matter what they say, they're, sponges constantly absorbing everything. And if you have, a parent that is sitting, on the couch eating Doritos, watching TV all the time, playing video games, the kid is going to grow up thinking that's normal and doing that. They don't know any better. And so hence, the obesity.
Yeah.
It just keeps snowballing. But
yeah. So we have a mutual friend or a friend of the show. She's probably more of your friend than my friend, Sonia. And when she was on my fitness show, Fitness Junkies, she blew me away. Her positivity, the way she sees life, her journey through life. Do you guys get into that or do you just work out together? Meaning like, she went through some shit.
She went through some shit is an understatement.
do you guys, because I know her yoga program and her she has a whole life coaching program. Mm-hmm. Do you guys get into that stuff? Did you go through her program or?
No, I never went through her program. I mean, she's a dear friend of mine. I talk to her almost every day. And I think I connect with people like that because I've never had struggles really. I mean, I've had my life, knock on wood, has been pretty okay. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I've just always connected with people that have stories like that. I mean, she's admirable. She gives very, very good. So I didn't go through her program, but anytime I'm having issues like in my personal life or right. anything like that, her advice is always top notch.
Nice. So why did you choose family law and why you opposed to every other attorney other than, let's say they're both the same and they both are fit and they both look like you.
Fair enough.
Why you?
I would say, so in my office, it's just me. You're not being, pawned off on assistants or paralegals. I handle your case from beginning to end. I have the time to dedicate to your case. My clients have my cell phone number. They can contact me anytime. And I just think that's very important. Attorneys get a bad rap you call your attorney because you need to speak with them and you don't hear back for a week. And I've heard that time and time and time again from any different sector, not just family law, from any other one.
Right.
I would say that's huge, especially in divorce and family law cases, custody cases. I mean, this is like their life, what I mean? And they're going through such a horrible time in their life most of the time. I mean, some of the times it's happy. It's not always, but either way, good, bad, indifferent, it's usually pretty stressful. Mm. So just having someone that is there that has the actual time to dedicate to your case, I think is super important.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree. A lot of times the thing that we do kind of can turn us off from the thing that we do, meaning you're dealing with, people that want to kill each other, yeah. want to get away from each other. So maybe marriage can kind of start to become a thing that maybe I don't want to do this. People struggling with their children and fighting over custody is something like, oh God, I can't imagine doing that. You have one example of your family, which is very positive, but you're seeing all this negative every day. Where are you in the whole thing of marriage and family? Is that something that's important to you, or?
It is. I would absolutely like to get married one day for sure. Okay. To the right person.
Right.
It's not, I've never been the type of person that like has to get married just to get married or has to have kids just to have kids.
Right.
Like if, you know, it has to be right. But seeing divorce every day hasn't changed that. It hasn't changed the fact that I would like to end up married. You know what I mean?
You're not bitter on it.
I have a different lens that I view it through for sure.
Right.
But I guess, yeah, not bitter.
Right. And, you know, I don't have kids either, and I can't imagine the turmoil that causes in the kid's life and in the parent's life. And to try and then become a positive force if they do end up separating and divorcing and co-parenting these kids and then having a different life. I know my parents did it, and I think they did it pretty well. But what do you feel about that whole dance?
So it's definitely doable. I think if you were to ask, like, you know, 10 couples that have separated, what's the percentage of them that co-parent effectively for the kids' best interest? I don't know, honestly, maybe 1 out of 10.
Wow.
It may be different. I don't know that those are, you know, hard statistics,
right.
But what I see so often that is just heartbreaking is these parents, they just want to win. You know, they have to get one up on the other parent and they don't take into consideration what it's doing to their kids, you know? And I sometimes, you know, when I try to speak with them, I don't have kids of my own, so I don't know, you know, perhaps they don't, doesn't come across, but you can see these little kids are like, they absorb so much and it all comes out too. Sometimes the kids get interviewed, not usually by the judges, but through Family Mediation Center. And I've read some of these child interviews that are just heartbreaking, you know, at the end of the day, like they just want their parents to get along and they
right.
just, you know, they're,
right.
they're innocent little kids.
Right.
So the fighting and the, you know, having to be the one that's correct or be the one that puts the other one down more is
right.
so horrible.
Do you, we talked about sometimes you have to be a counselor for these people. Do you sometimes have to be a referee and like, you know, keep people apart and kind of be cool?
Well, I can only give advice to my client.
Okay.
We're not allowed to talk to the other ones if they're represented by counsel. I mean, sometimes we do if they're representing their own. So you don't have to have an attorney to get divorced or to handle custody matters. So yes, I have a couple times had to do things like that, especially if like outside of a courtroom when they're like really hostile, like before we walk in,
right.
you have to like talk and, you know, and do all that. Calm down. Yes,
right.
It's happened.
Wow. I don't know if you answered this. Why did you choose that particular type of law?
So it's kind of a funny story. My dad had always said, you'd be a good family law attorney. This was before I took the LSAT, and I just looked at him like, Dad, that's like Jerry Springer shit. Like, no. Like, I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. Then fast forward, you know, I end up in law school. But after law school, I just got a job, like the quickest job I applied, like on Indeed or something. And I was doing, I was working for a construction defect firm, doing insurance defense. It was worse than watching paint dry. It was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. And I can say this now, but I was looking for other jobs while I was at that job.
Right.
It was so bad. And a family law job was posted, and the rest is kind of history. But so I ended up working for the largest domestic relations firm in the country, domestic relations, family law, synonymous. And so I worked for them for 5 years. But so initially it was, to answer your question, initially it was just to get away. And then, you know, I enjoyed it much more. It was much more personable than construction defect,
right,
you know?
Right.
So
dealing with people and trying to really find positive ground. Like, that's kind of really what you're doing, right?
Yes, and I finally felt like I was, like, helping people, you know? With construction defect, who was I helping?
Right.
An insurance company?
Right.
Try to save a couple bucks, like,
right.
you know?
Right. And do you have, you know, you're doing some really cool marketing and branding stuff. You recently did Real Vegas Magazine, the magazine. You're on the cover of that, and now you're doing a podcast. You're trying to get the message out through different mediums, social media, magazines. What other than, you know, getting your name out there and getting more clients? Do you have any, like, where is your practice going ideally?
So I branched out from that, the firm I was just speaking about during COVID, because they closed their doors in Las Vegas in COVID, so I went out on my own.
Got it.
So ideally, I would like to grow the business, have a few attorneys, you know, working for me and just expand, be able to help more people. So that's the goal.
Okay.
Yeah.
And talk to me a little bit more about helping people and maybe what differentiates you. You talked about your kind of hands-on care that you give to your clients. Is there a way to do family law and then the way you like to do family law that kind of you feel it separates you?
I wouldn't say there's a way to do family law and a way not to do family law. I think there's just the human aspect.
Mm.
A lot of attorneys go into, you know, into court and I don't know. I have to be careful. I don't want
right.
to, you know, say anything, but
right.
I think it's just the human interest, like being able to connect with the client, being able to like to make sure that their story is heard. You know, that it's all, that the judge sees everything correctly. And, cause the last thing that you want is to go into a hearing when, you know, their kids are on the line or
right.
things of this nature, or, you
right.
know, their paycheck, whatever the case may be.
Right.
And you don't present their case and the judge can only make a ruling based on what he or she has in front of them. And if
right.
you don't do it correctly, you know, the ruling may not be in your client's favor. So I would just say, you know, being as prepared as you can and telling their story at the best way possible.
Got it. Very interesting. There's one question I want to ask you that just came into my head, and it's along this kind of male toxic masculinity. One of these shows or clips that I was just watching, the guy was arguing that there's no real value of men getting married, because if they get married and they have a kid, then they potentially lose their kid, or they have to give half of their money to their wife. Like, do you find like the institution of marriage and the value to a man getting married and the value of a woman getting married, do you have any, I mean, you're a woman, but do you kind of get the kind, is it fair? Like, is divorce fair?
Is divorce fair? I don't know. I don't know if I would say yes or no to that.
Okay.
But I mean, as far as custody purposes in Nevada, that they changed the laws on that, and it is as fair as it can be.
Okay.
But I saw that same clip on social media.
Okay.
By the way, I know exactly what you're talking about. But I've divorced plenty of women that make more money than their spouse and have a work schedule to where they have to fight for joint custody because it's hard for them to be able to have enough time with their kids because of work or this, that, and the other.
Mm.
So, you know, is it you know, does a man benefit from marriage because he could have XYZ taken away? Well, it's the same for a woman. It's the same. I mean, that's definitely like an old gender stereotype.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And again, that's the stuff that's the narratives that are being pushed out and, you know, to very young, much younger people than me and that are, you know, can start taking these things, you know, and like not getting married for
yeah.
the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny, we're talking about, you know, all these relationship things, and I think it probably has to color your field, because you're now going to get these products of the narrative in social media right now, and it's different.
Yeah, it definitely is with social media, with technology. I mean, I had a client that found out that her husband was being unfaithful via a Tesla camera.
Oh,
because
God.
They did it in the car on the Tesla, in the Tesla camera.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, if you know, rewind, I don't know, 20, I don't remember when Tesla was, when it came about.
Yeah.
But you didn't used to have cameras in cars. I'm not saying what he did was completely wrong. Let me just make that clear. So there's no a misunderstanding. But you wouldn't have been able to get caught that way in the past. So things change, you
right.
know?
Wow. 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 That is crazy. Wow. So, anything else going on in your world? Are you going to do another magazine cover, or what's happening? How do people get in touch with you? Oh, one last question. Pretty lawyer couple. I don't know if you do like a discovery where you have the man and the woman. Do you get like hater energy from wives? Do you, or men like, do you have, I think that's a whole nother aspect that you have to deal with being who you are.
Yeah, I've definitely gotten the weird energy a few times. Since COVID happened, we have done a lot of our court hearings virtually. Oh. And so, because the other side doesn't see me right away. It's only if we ever go to court or if there's a mediation. So there's not a whole lot of interaction with the opposing side.
Got it.
So if a husband hires me, their wife doesn't see me, you know, right away. I mean, I suppose they can Google. I don't know.
Right.
I've never gotten divorced, so I don't know if that's a thing, if they do that. You know,
right.
I do have social media, so perhaps they do. But
right.
I didn't have, you know, a work social media previously, so I don't think that was a thing. So long story short, you know, when I would go into these hearings before COVID, I definitely did feel those eyeballs and weird energy for
right,
sure.
Right.
That's toned down a little bit because most of the hearings are virtual. But it does happen.
But you just have to walk in the skin that you're in and be respectful and be authentic and be professional, and people are going to think what they're going
to
think.
Yes. So I used to let tons of things get to me, that, this, all the things.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I've learned I can't control what they think.
Nope.
You know what I mean? I can't control what they think. I can't control what they do, their actions, any of that. All I can control is me, and just be, just like you said, polite and respectful. And that's it. So,
yeah. Yeah. So how do people, the best way to get in touch with you for services?
All of my information is on Instagram. That's probably the easiest way.
Okay.
Or my website,
okay.
My direct line is linked.
Okay.
Is linked there.
Okay, yeah. Great, great. Well, thank you so much for making time on a Saturday. Thank you. It's hard to pitch someone if you need help with your divorce.
I know.
There is a positive side, and I think this young lady can help you there. All right, Vegas junkies, fans of Vegas, locals, until next time, see you later.